A judge that has knowledge but not virtue is also unqualified. A judge that is arrogant about the knowledge derived from the Torah is also a judge whose impartiality is not assured. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 81, Justice in the Talmud and the Talmudic Justice. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is a source of pride to me that when a book about Justice Antonin Scalia was published, titled On Faith, Lessons from an American Believer, the volume contained reflections from the late Justice about the Bible and religion, as well as essays from several other individuals, with only one rabbi represented. My essay in the book was titled The Talmudic Justice, and as I described in my own piece, it was inspired by the honor that I had hosting Justice Scalia at Yeshiva University, along with Nathan Lewin, his longtime friend. It was a dramatic event, a packed Lamport auditorium, discussing some of the most important subjects relating to law and religion. Prior to the main event, there was a private one, and in my remarks there, as I wrote in the book, I took note of the fact that Justice Scalia was the only justice on the court, at least the only justice on the court in recent memory, to have made mention of the Talmud in one of his published opinions. And I added that this, to my mind, provided more than sufficient reason to grant Justice Scalia the appellation the Talmudic Justice. It seemed quite clear to me that he was tickled at the notion. And it was, as I further put it in the book, one of many memorable moments in an unforgettable day. The mention he made was from Avot, what is commonly, though inaccurately, called Ethics of the Fathers, describing the Torah, Hafoch ba va hafoch ba dekula ba, turn it over and turn it over, for all is in it. Justice Scalia sought to stress that this may be true about the Torah, but not about secular law. As he wrote, quote, a Talmudic maxim instructs with respect to the scripture, turn it over and turn it over, for all is therein. And then he added as a source, the Babylonian Talmud, Tractate Aboth, Chapter 5, Mishnah 22. And then he further added, divinely inspired texts may contain the answers to all earthly questions, but the due process clause most assuredly does not. So he wrote in his dissent in Caperton versus A.T. Massey Coal Company. The quote that Scalia cited is an apt one when we consider judges and their qualifications, not justices on the United States Supreme Court, but rather on Jewish courts known as Bate Din. To speak of the Torah as containing everything is, on the one hand, to describe it as a divinely designed and dictated source of sagacity and wisdom. On the other hand, if we can turn it over and turn it over, for all is in it, then that is because the Torah is a pathway to the infinite knowledge of God. But it is also, therefore, a reminder of the fact that as finite beings, we are not God. A Jewish judge, in other words, must seek knowledge from the Torah, but must also cultivate self-awareness. Or, as I put it in my essay in the book dedicated to the memory of Justice Scalia, the rabbinic aphorism cited by Scalia about the Torah, turn it over and turn it over for all is in it, was said by Ben Bagbag, one of the least famous rabbis in the Talmud, who believed, as did his colleagues, that the word of God may contain all the answers. But this also reminds us that no one man can discover them all. True intellectual greatness, in other words, actually is embodied in the judge who recognizes one's own gifts, but also an utter lack of omniscience. It is with this in mind that we may approach our mitzvah for the day, a mitzvah that is all about judges. The source is Deuteronomy 1:17, Lo takiru panim bamishpat. Literally, you shall not recognize faces in judgment. It is, first and foremost, stating that all stand equally before the law. But according to rabbinic tradition, the Torah, in prohibiting partiality, is also banning an unqualified judge from sitting on at least major cases. Or, as the medieval work Sefer HaChinuch, Book of Education, defines the prohibition, and this is the Sefaria translation, that the great court or the exilarch was prevented not to appoint a judge to judge people who did not study the wisdom of the Torah and the explanation of its straight and righteous statutes. How do we prevent partiality? First and foremost, by ensuring that judges are qualified. Qualifications, of course, as this medieval work tells us, are to be sought first and foremost in the study of Jewish law. Turn it over and turn it over, for all is in it. But then the very same work adds the following, quote, "Just as the one who is fit to be a judge must know the laws of the Torah, so too must he be someone of good character traits and a proper man," end quote. A judge that has knowledge but not virtue is also unqualified. A judge that is arrogant about the knowledge derived from the Torah is also a judge whose impartiality is not assured. Hence the famous verse in Proverbs, Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is the fear or awe of the Lord. Or as I wrote in my tribute to Justice Scalia, true wisdom lies in our recognition of both our intellectual talents and limitations, and our recognition that there is only one who has all the answers. Justice Scalia understood this as a man of faith and also of brilliance. And the fact is that for all that he valued intelligence, he also recognized that brilliance and goodness do not necessarily go hand in hand. So I reflected in the piece. To be a man of faith is to know that ultimately, character is above brilliance, and that, for the rabbinic tradition, lies also at the heart of this judicial instruction. A favorite anecdote of mine is described, I believe, in a biography of Justice Scalia, in which someone once said to the justice something to the effect of, "I named my fish after you." The judge, referring to his own nickname, said, "Oh, you named him Nino?" And he said, "No, I named him Justice Scalia." And Scalia asked something like, "Did you name any of your other fish after any other Supreme Court justice?" And he replied something like, "No, Justice Scalia ate the other fish." The justice was known at times for his fierce engagement in debate, but that stemmed from his love of ideas. But even more important than cleverness was character, something that he stressed all the time. And we remember this as we study the legacy of the Talmudic justice and the Talmudic discussion of justice. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.